Hello, welcome to Pharma Marketing Talk. This is your host, Pharma Guy, also known as John Mack. And today my guest is Jonathan Richman, who is the founder of Dose and Expound. And I'll let him tell you a little bit more about that. But we're going to be talking about a social media campaign in Australia that was non-branded from a pharmaceutical company related to melanoma. So first, let me say hello to John. John, how you doing?
Thanks for the invite.
So John, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself before we get started?
Sure. Just background-wise, I've spent 11 years in sales and marketing and pharma at AstraZeneca, and then led healthcare strategy at digital agency. That's where I wrote the blog Dose of Digital. It's probably where most people know me. Then spent a couple of years at a startup here in Cincinnati, and then for the last year went out on my own doing consulting and then developing my own application. It's called Expound. It's for customer market research. So kind of dabbling in a few different areas.
Okay. The reason we're having this conversation is because a few days ago you started an interesting discussion on LinkedIn about the Melanoma Likes Me Instagram public service campaign, which won an award from this year's Lions Festival. And I made some comments in response. So why don't you tell us more about your LinkedIn post so we can continue the conversation here?
Yeah, so I have the somewhat hyperbolic title of the greatest healthcare social media campaign I've ever seen, but I actually think that it is certainly one of the best. Got to have good titles these days. The campaign is actually done by, I believe, a nonprofit in Australia that focuses on awareness around skin cancer. I forget exactly the foundation. Well, the general idea is this: they know that they need to reach younger people kind of where they are. So the traditional routes, TV, journals, that kind of stuff, probably isn't going to reach them. So the insight behind it is, hey, we know a lot of young folks are on Instagram and they post a ton of pictures of themselves out enjoying the sun. So at the beach and at different places where they're likely to be exposed to the sun and not really be protected. So the idea is, let's basically search through Instagram the different hashtags that are associated with outdoors. So sunburn or the specific beach names in Australia. And then they created this persona that's basically melanoma that follows these people around. And essentially when they post something about being at the beach and a picture of them, say sunburn, they respond back with these kind of, I think, funny but sort of sinister sounding posts about, you know, as much as you like the sun, I like it even more because, well, I'm melanoma. And so obviously gets a lot of attention from the person it's directed to and hopefully build some awareness. So a good way to reach young people right where they are at the perfect time, really. So the question I think John and I were debating is this either the greatest social media campaign ever with really nice targeting, goes right to the target audience and also kind of done in an interesting way? Or is it, I think, John, you put it, kind of creepy spam?
Well, right. I mean, since you had that title, I had to come up with one, too, that captured
yeah,
people's
exactly.
attention. I kind of thought it was a little creepy. I mean, here you have some, nice kids going out there and just trying to enjoy the sun, I don't know, having beer on the beach and whatnot. And then
right.
Along comes _melanoma says, glad to see you enjoying the sun. Hope you don't get melanoma or something like that. So I thought that was kind of creepy in a Debbie Downer sort of way. You know, as far as reaching the right audience at the right time with the right message. So first of all, I don't know if it was, I guess it was the right time. Obviously, they're at the beach or maybe in the sun. You know, I felt that in Australia, you can get melanoma not just from going to the beach, but just hanging around in the city. So maybe, you know, TV would have been a much better medium to reach even more people than young people who use Instagram and go to the beach who happen to post. The other thing I mentioned, let's talk a little bit about, though, you can respond to that, but let me just also mention that the little sidebar that we had about, well, what is social media? Is it a conversation or is it not? You know, and you, I think, said something that you don't believe social media needs to be conversational anymore.
Yeah, well, so yeah, let me get to that in a second before I could go too far. But going back, I mean, to your first point about could we have reached them better with TV or that sort of thing, I know specifically for this campaign, kind of the insight was we have to reach younger people, right? And so for the vast majority, TV consumption is way, way down, so we need to reach them somewhere else. Plus, if the budget's unlimited, yeah, you could try TV because you're going to get great reach. If your budget as this kind of nonprofit foundation in Australia, which I'm guessing is pretty small, you may not even have the luxury of TV. So what are you going to do instead? And this lets you run a campaign and reach at least a certain amount of people for probably literally close to $0 if you do it well. So kind of working with what you've got, it's fine to do TV where you can and where it reaches the right audience, but it's also a really, really big investment. So if you've got those kind of dollars, you can look into it, but it may not be necessarily the best way to spend it, or you may not have the money. I mean, as for the other part, we could probably do a two-hour debate on is social media really social, if you'd like, but I'm not sure everybody else would like that.
Okay, let's hold off on that. The other creepy thing about this campaign was that it uses robo-messages, which I think is very impersonal and not conversational. And I thought there might be some blowback from especially young people who will quickly recognize this as an ad campaign and, you know, maybe block _melanoma from their access to their Instagram posts.
Right.
What do you think about that?
So first, like when you look at the case study for this thing, they go into this elaborate piece about, we built this very complex algorithm, et cetera, et cetera. And the cynical me wants to say that I think that's a little bit exaggerated because I know it would cost a fair amount of money to build like some really complex automatic algorithm, whereas it's more likely just, hey, we set up alerts for when these certain hashtags show up and then somebody automatically responds to them, some intern or somebody who's given this assignment. So, I mean, some of the replies are a little personalized to the situation. So I don't think it's as robo as what you think. But it is, like you said, it's somewhat, I mean, it's robo in the fact that it's kind of searching out there automatically. And some of the replies are definitely canned. I don't necessarily have a huge problem with that. I have a problem with that if it's, you send the exact same thing out to everybody and it's clearly like an ad. Like, so if it was Coppertone responding to everybody going, here, try Coppertone's latest whatever, that to me is more directly an ad that bothers me a little bit more. Where this one requires, hey, I'm gonna put this comment up there, and you actually have to do a little bit of work to get to the information, which means you got to click on my profile and say, who's this melanoma person? And then when you click through on the URL in their profile, that's when you get to kind of the PSA page for it that talks about the dangers of exposure to the sun and how to protect yourself and those sorts of things. So, yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with your point about it being a little bit robotic. So I guess the debate goes back to, is that good or bad? Does it qualify as social?
Well, the aim of this campaign is to be educational. And as you just mentioned, to get the education, recipients of these robo messages have to click on _melanoma to access its Instagram page and then click on a link there to get the actual educational messages. And, you know, they're at the beach. You know, maybe they're not interested in getting educated at that particular time and going through all these hoops. Which leads me to ask, if you were in charge of running this campaign and reporting the results to your boss, what key performance indicators would you use to measure the effectiveness of the campaign to determine if the goals have been met?
I mean, I think the key one is probably how many people you get to actually come to that page and read about it. There's not like a hard sell after that, like, now buy suntan lotion, because again, it's a non-profit. It's not, you know, say Walmart behind it with some plot to sell more of a specific brand of sunscreen. That's probably the top thing. You could look at some other surrogates, like, how many other hearts or whatever they are on whatever they're called on Instagram. It's just the heart that I'm just impressing, whether it's a heart or people kind of sharing their comments. I think that's all part of it. It's one of those campaigns where it's a little bit abstract, but if your goal is, hey, we want to educate these people, and the education is, we count them as educated if they read this kind of, it's a one paragraph thing, and that you could then further read on if you'd like. I think that makes sense.
Well, it certainly doesn't hurt that they won this award. I mean, that's the only reason why I went to visit their site,
right?
And maybe a few thousand other people did the same thing. And, you know, I'm just wondering, are they going to get more traction because they won an award at the 2015 Lions Health Festival, or because they actually reached their audience? So if they're just measuring web visits, I don't think that's really going to cut it as a true indicator. What can actually be measured on Instagram? Is it like Facebook?
So, like, you could look at how many people actually like the comments that you put up there. You could track how many followers you got and those kinds of things. Those are okay, soft measures, I guess. For me, the one I'd really look at is the web traffic piece. And to your point, I agree about, it's probably distorted since they've been in that campaign, in that competition and won something. So I would say I'd like to see the data before that. So just cut off the page views before, say, you know, a month ago or something like that, or whenever they stop the campaign, and look at it from there forward to not artificially inflate it, to your point. I think that would be reasonable.
Right. I was just thinking maybe more pharma marketers should enter these kinds of contests, and maybe that's the purpose of these contests, to, you know, bump up your KPIs and fool your bosses.
Right. You definitely could, probably, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to give people ideas, but, you know, there's an idea for you.
Well, the trick is, it has to be good enough to win, which is, there's actually a separate Health Lions, which I was actually at this year and had a chance to speak at. And what that is it's all healthcare campaigns kind of competing in this individual little pool, and they get awards as well. But none of them, except for, I think a couple actually, went on to win actual Cannes awards at the bigger festival. So it's almost like, hey, we're in this kind of JV league, so we're going to have our own competition because we can't compete against the other competition. That, to me, is the message it sends, which I don't care for. I don't think there's any reason why you can't do really quality work, even with the restrictions that pharma has. And this campaign is probably a good indication of that.
Uh-huh.
That's a whole other rant.
Well, it's a non-branded, so it should be relatively easy, I would imagine. Well, you gave a presentation at the Lions Health Festival. What did you talk about?
With Amy Duda from Sudler, and it was called Lies, Damn Lies, and Statistics. And we covered a bunch of different ways that the healthcare industry, healthcare marketing, you'd probably love it, that they use statistics to kind of get their point across, where maybe slightly exaggerating things or using statistics, and whether they'd be descriptive or predictive statistics to kind of make the point stronger than maybe it actually is, whether that be on purpose or unintentionally. So that's really what the entire talk was about. It wasn't, you know, some wonky statistics presentation. It was a little bit about the good, bad, and evil use of stats in healthcare marketing.
Oh, sounds interesting. We should have had a program to talk about that. Did you have, was this like a PowerPoint presentation? Did you upload it on SlideShare or anything like that?
It's not on SlideShare, but you can actually get it. We made a little mini website. The website is No Lies, No Dams. So NOLIES, NODAMNS.com. No lies, no dams. So a play on the lies, damn lies, and statistics. If you go there, you can download a copy of the presentation too. And there's a video also, okay. But I think you need access to like the CAN site and need to pay some exorbitant amount of money to view it, but I'll see if I can get it public somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay any money.
No, I wouldn't okay. if I were you. I'm not that worth it, as good as it was.
So now you're back into the health arena. For a while there, you were in the food area. Now you're back into the drug area. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Spent the 2.5 years at a startup here in Cincinnati that focused on restaurant marketing, a company called Zipscene. My job was around the product strategy, marketing. And so the real interest for me was kind of helping figure out how to grow the company. We started with 8 people. I think when I left, we had 50 something. So the company kind of grew, but I really like day to day. I don't actually have a huge passion for restaurant marketing. And what I really liked about healthcare was the fact that it felt like when I was doing it right, it was actually helping people. Whereas I realized on the other side, and this sounds like a little bit high and mighty, but nonetheless, on the other side, I was like, well, I'm doing a really good job of getting more people to go to Wendy's and Steak and Shake and these other types of restaurants. Like, this is actually kind of the opposite of helping people be more healthy. So it's a great company, and what they do is really cool. But just kind of had a little bit of a different passion I wanted to get back into. Yeah, so I got pulled back in. Like the Godfather.
You try to get away, but they keep pulling you back in. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe next time you'll be in cosmetics. I don't know. And you'll cover all the areas that the FDA is responsible for.
Oh, it's a good idea. Hadn't thought of that.
And next, you might become somebody at the FDA. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. A fox in the hen house in that case. Yeah.
Maybe you can comment on another campaign that won an award at Lions Health Festival.
Yeah.
It was about the fishes. Did you see that? You know, for high triglycerides?
Uh-huh.
I forget the names of the two fishes. They were like two not dead fishes in a fish store talking to one another, like Abbott and Costello.
Right.
You're too young. You probably don't know who Abbott and Costello are, but
sure I do. I'm not that young, but yeah.
All right. Well, what did you think of that?
My favorite things. What did I think of that one? So that won like the ultimate award at Lions Health, right? Which let's see. So this campaign was put out by my alma mater. I used to work at AstraZeneca. I know that's theirs. I have no specific love for them, so I'm not biased. But I mean, to me, it's good and bad, right? So it's good in that it's not the same boring pharma videos, right? They are, you can argue how entertaining they are, but they're certainly among the most entertaining pharma videos that have ever been put out, where most of them are like watching the paint dry part 1 through 6. So there is a lot of improvement over that. So you got to give them that kind of credit. And do people pay attention then, right? So fine. I mean, whether it's the best of the best campaign there, that I'm not so sure about. I saw other things that I thought were a lot more interesting that kind of escaped me off the top of my head. So I give them credit for I know how that campaign could have gone. It could have been some like really boring, like, I don't know, cartoon about how triglycerides work and how they're so dangerous, or another set of patient stories about I had high triglycerides and now I don't and whatever that nobody would care about. These are at least slightly amusing, which I think is a requirement, because I've always said the competition for your healthcare marketing online isn't other maybe crappy healthcare marketing. It's everything else that's out there. So if I have the opportunity to watch videos on YouTube and I happen to see yours, I also have billions of other videos to choose from. So that's what you're competing against, not, say, another video from whatever, Lipitor or something. So I give them credit in that regard. I'm not sure of the efficacy of the campaign, or if it's otherwise hugely effective. So I don't know. I was inspired more by some other campaigns there, I think.
One of the interesting things I saw about that is obviously this is a series of videos, and I guess on YouTube it's now, you know, the way YouTube works is the way Netflix and other video streaming services work. When there's a series of videos, once you stop, once the first one's done, it automatically goes to the second, to the third, and so forth.
Right.
Do you think there'll be more of those types of multiple short video campaigns that are linked together in this way, in terms of like a chapters in a story or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense, but like with anything, it's a lot more work to do that. Like, it's just way harder, right? So then the question is, do you want to do it the hard way or do you want to do it the easy way? If you want to check the box of, hey, we did a YouTube video, that's really easy. I can check that box for you in 15 minutes. If you want to check the box on, yeah, we put out some quality content that people are actually looking at and getting something out of, that probably requires something that's more than just, you know, one-off 20-second video about the mechanism of action of your drug. It may require something that behaves a little bit more like what customers and regular humans would actually like to see. So something that's episodic like that, or has some follow-through where there's something like, I've got to see the next one. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, HBO, Game of Thrones, or Netflix, whatever. Orange is the New Black, or whatever, House of Cards. But I mean, make it at least somewhat interesting where I want to see the next video. I'd love to look at the stats for people that watched the first video, how many watched the second video, and so on, and see what that drop off is. If there's some monstrous drop off after the first one or before the first one even ends, or do you have a reasonable number of people going onto the second? And I think that's entirely based on the quality of the content. But like I said, I don't have access to that information. I'd love to take a look if AstraZeneca wants to share it, though.
Well, yeah, I'd like to see that, too. And, you know, I was at conferences where people were talking about these kinds of episodic campaigns that actually involve patient stories. And the patient stories are a big thing, even though they're not probably not going to win an award. But last year at the the Lions Health Festival, a patient stories did win an award. In fact, a story about a fictitious patient won a story, but an award. But in any case, this, you know, technique of doing instead of 40, you know, 60 second videos, maybe doing shorter videos and linking them together, might or might not be effective. And if you know of any other examples of that, I'd like to know about it. But anyway, I think we've spent a lot of time discussing a few different things that relate to social media, and especially the Lions Health Festival awarded campaigns. Is there anything that you would like to say in closing, maybe to summarize your point of view about at least the best or the creepiest social media campaign you've ever seen?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the key things is like it's something very unique, right? And I think one of your points was, gosh, if everybody starts doing the same thing, we've got a problem, which I totally agree with. But hey, this is an innovative way that they did it. I'm not saying everybody should run out and do this same thing. That's not the point. The point is that even after all the digital marketing that's ever been done in healthcare for years and years and years, this company, this group managed to find a unique way to do it. So if they're able to find it, there's something unique that's going to capture people's attention that hasn't been done yet. So it just takes a little bit more work to find what that is. But when you do, it's definitely worth it.
Well, John, thanks for being a guest on the show. And if you do get to find out some more information about how successful this campaign was, you know, maybe I can write the summary of this up in my newsletter. It might be interesting, and I hope I could quote you, of course. But we'd like to see some more data about how successful it was. So if you have any contacts with them and can ask them about that and get back to me, that would be great. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, Jonathan, thanks for being a guest. And
yeah, my pleasure.
Okay, so this is Pharma Guy saying until next time, goodbye, and thanks for listening, and thank you, John, again, for being a guest. Bye, everybody.
Yep, thanks, John.